This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raider podcast. I'm your host, JT. Very busy podcast for you as we're about to be joined by one of the premier NFL insiders from ESPN. Stay tuned and keep coming back to Raiders.com all year long and check us out on iTunes. We have a lot of news as we build up to the NFL draft. There's never an off season, but if there is any breaking news, we'll turn around a podcast quickly. We're excited about the Hall of Fame coming up around the corner, Tim Brown and Ron Wolf, and all the other important appearances by Raiders in the community and the news that you come to expect at Raiders.com. Joining us on this edition of the official Raider podcast is Adam Kaplan. He is a member of the Pro Football Writers Association, and what a career he's had so far as an NFL insider. You see him on ESPN, NFL Insiders. He's all over SportsCenter, and he is connected to the silver and black. Adam, I know you just came off the owners' meeting out in Phoenix. On behalf of the Raider Nation, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. I've now turned the page from free agency now to the draft, and certainly a very interesting free agency period. Although free agency, JT, goes on for months, the big part of it is now behind us as we turn the page to April and May's NFL draft.
You got it. We'll get to the draft and we'll recap free agency in a moment. I want to start with the big move for the silver and black in the offseason and the hiring of Jack Del Rio. When we came off the field in London and Dennis Allen went 0-4, it was obvious to everybody that the Raiders, Mark Davis, was going to make a coaching change. Tony Sparano came in and got something out of the Raiders, but they still lost a bunch of games, and some of those games got a little bit ugly. When did you realize that they had to make a big move, and were you on board? Did you like the hiring of Jack Del Rio?
Well, Jack Del Rio is a guy who's won games. He certainly was successful to a point with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I think he deserved another shot, did a nice job as D coordinator with the Broncos. And I think he comes in with a system. You know that if you're gonna play for Jack Del Rio, if you're running back, you like him because he believes in a strong running game. That'll happen. He hires Bill Musgrave, which was a surprise to me, only because Jack dismissed Musgrave when he was with the Jaguars, so that was a surprise to me. But he's back, and Musgrave's learned a lot. He's done a nice job as a quarterback's coach. We'll have to see as a coordinator, but I like the system that they're going to run. It's going to be up-tempo. I like the offense, but they've got a lot of work to do. That's the thing, and the approach to free agency this time around is a little bit better. They didn't spend a lot of money. They're going to build this thing through the draft, which is the way you got to do it.
When we look at Del Rio and the hiring of some of those coaches, do you believe that he was able to put together a quality coaching staff, considering the fact a lot of coaches were gone by then? I want to get your comment on Ken Norton Jr. because of the system Pete Carroll had with competition Thursdays up in Seattle as they developed those linebackers, those pass rushers. It went on to the Legion of Boom and the success that Del Rio had in Denver. So, Adam, this are two coaches and a defensive coaching staff that not only should be an upgrade, but the attack mode of this defense, especially with Khalil Mack, should improve this offseason.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, though, I think when we just mentioned the offense, I think, is going to be okay. The up-tempo generally will work. The players just have to get used to that kind of play, and they're going to be a lot out of the shotgun, and Derek Carr is very comfortable in that. But defensively, you're just looking for a personnel standpoint that, you know, they released Antonio Smith. They have a depth issue. They have a talent issue, I think, on the defensive line. They need guys who could rush the passer. That, to me, is going to be the biggest, I think, issue for their defense going forward. You mentioned Ken Norton Jr. When I heard that they were eyeing Ken Norton Jr., you know, talking to the Seahawks, they said he's going to be very aggressive, probably more aggressive as a play caller than we probably know, talking to people who know him pretty well. But I think the strength of that defense still is going to be the front four, and I think if Reggie McKenzie's got a big challenge here, it's to get more pass rushers. Khalil Mack clearly is a guy that's very talented, had a very good rookie season. He has a tremendous upside as a pass rusher. C.O. Moore could rush the passer, but you have to look at it in looking at this draft. To me, if you rank their needs, mostly come on defense. Obviously, receiver on offense is a big one. I think guard is clearly a big one on offense, but then when you turn to defense, it's defensive end is a huge need to me. I think safety is a huge need. I think if you look at it, I think the defense of the entire unit, of all the units, I think that's where the questions really lie there.
Adam Kaplan's our guest. What about DJ Hayden? I mean, when he was brought in to be a star, not to be a serviceable defensive back, and then the injury came along. Do you believe that that's a player that can grow with the Raiders, or is basically he on the clock this offseason and has to step up and take his game to a higher level?
Well, I could tell you from talking to the Raider coaches who were with the staff previously, they were very happy with Hayden's progress over the course of the season. Remember, his offseason last year was cut short because of the foot injury. They were really happy with his progress. Keith McGill is sort of an upside guy. T.J. Carey was a great surprise today, I think, as a seventh-round pick. He's got upside, but they still need to develop that cornerback position. And I think they also need safety. At safety, they need competition. So, again, Reggie McKenzie's got a big job on his hands here with the defense.
I look at the offensive side of the ball, and I wanted to know where you stood with Derek Carr coming into the draft of last year, because Jameis Winston is a big story with Marcus Mariota, and they're the Raiders with the fourth pick overall. There aren't many insiders who believe that the Raiders would make a move at a quarterback if they had Mariota there and he was available. How comfortable are you with their quarterback? Matt Schaub is gone, the depth at that position, and do you believe they have a franchise quarterback for years to come in Carr?
Well, a couple things, JT, on the quarterback position. Derek Carr is going to be their guy. This offensive scheme that they're going to run with Bill Musgrave is going to fit him real, real well. He's a perfect fit for it. They're not going to take a quarterback early, I can tell you that. Now, Christian Ponder's on a one-year deal. Matt McGloin is on his third year of a four-year deal. Or actually, he's on the final year. I think he actually signed a three-year deal. Matt McGloin is no lock to be on the football team this fall. Now, they're going to, what they want is Matt McGloin to push Christian Ponder. We'll have to see about that. But I could tell you this. When you look at their situation at quarterback, they're fine. I think, you know, Bill Musgrave obviously knows Ponder. That's why he's there, because of their time they spent in Minnesota. Again, I think the offensive line to me is the biggest issue. Wide receiver, they need speed. I know that internally that's the biggest issue that they've talked about.
Are you surprised that the Raiders have this money still available? And obviously the premier players are gone, but how prudent was Reggie McKenzie with the money that he had as you grade the offseason and free agency, because there's still money left on the table heading into the draft?
Yeah, they're in great cap shape, great cash. I'm told they're also in a better cash position. They were actually going to, again, they were going to spend more money than they wound up doing, but, you know, just the way free agency went, Julius Thomas, they were involved in it, but they were not going to go heavy on it. They weren't going to go, he was going to be more prudent with it. But I could tell you this, Randall Cobb would have gotten a bigger deal with the Raiders than he would have had with the Packers, but he decided to stay, and that's the way it is. But the Raiders are still in good cap shape. They're going to have around $25 million once they recalculate Antonio Smith's cap number. That's going to get rebated to their cap. They're in pretty good shape there. Again, though, you never want to build your team through free agency. You want to build through the draft. You supplement through free agency, but this team has still got a lot of work to do. This new coaching staff, they know it. There's a lot of work Reggie McKenzie needs to do here for the draft.
Let's head back to the draft. Who do you think is a better fit for the Raiders if they go wide receiver, Amari Cooper or Kevin White?
I think Cooper, and I hate this term, but I think it's true talking to NFL people. I think Amari Cooper, clearly, because he's done it for a longer period of time. Kevin White is a very interesting player because he runs really well for his size. But I think, to me, Amari Cooper comes into plays right away. I can't say the same for Kevin White. I really find Kevin White to be a very interesting player. And he clearly, he's got the size. He's bigger than Cooper, runs real well. But you have to take a leap of faith, to me. You could look at it and say, okay, if you're in a situation where you need someone to play right away, I think Amari Cooper is that guy. But Devontae Parker is an interesting player. Jalen Strong was very interesting, had a great combine workout. He's going to go in the first round. Now, Dorial Green-Beckham, you have to take a leap of faith with due to the off-the-field issues, but he's a freakish player. I mean, this kid's big time. And then Breshad Perriman, who is unbelievably fast but not the most consistent player, he's a very interesting player. So this is another, by the way, compared to last year, it won't be as good on paper, but this is a draft that you can get starters at wide receiver, second, third, even maybe fourth round of wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that's important. And you know how much Reggie McKenzie likes his draft picks and would like to stockpile more. Do you think it's a difficult transition moment for the Raiders to trade out of that pick? Obviously, teams are coveting that pick depending on what happens at quarterback. Leonard Williams, who's an unbelievable player, we haven't mentioned him, his ability to come in and dominate on the defensive line. Do you think in the back of their mind the Raiders are thinking move down just a couple of spots, possibly with St. Louis or the Jets, and get another valuable pick because they need as many picks as they can handle?
Yeah, and I also think, though, if this is not a bad situation to trade down, because it, for the first time in I don't know how long, it's a really good edge rusher draft, and by the way, the Raiders really need that. I mean, some would argue that's their biggest need. And to me, if you want a receiver or edge rusher, especially a receiver, you could trade down. It's always tricky with edge rushers. Now, they're still gonna run a 43. And to me, I think when you do that, this is a draft you could get them. Now, unfortunately, the Randy Gregory situation, you got to scratch him off the list. I think the risk, despite being a talented player, there's a major risk there because of the off-the-field history, so you have to be very, very careful.
As we wrap this up here in a moment, I wanted to ask you about the AFC West in general with Peyton Manning. When Peyton Manning came into this division, knowledgeable football fans and insiders like yourself said, okay, let's just stop and reset. No matter who you are in that division, you're going to have to go through Peyton Manning. The way he struggled down the stretch and heading into the postseason, is there hope for the Chargers and the Raiders in Kansas City? Because if Manning was healthy or plays healthy next year, he's still at a level where he seems to go through the rest of that division in those six games, and he's the front runner as long as he's with the Bronco organization.
Well, the problem is now he's 39, coming off of a bad injury, that quad injury. When I say bad, it was debilitating. It wasn't a major injury, but for a quarterback, you can't drive the football. And that's what we saw the last quarter of the season. That's why, by the way, they became a running team, which is not really what they're supposed to be, but they became a running team. And Gary Kubiak believes in the run. I think when you look at that division, Kansas City, they're sort of a team you just – They definitely dropped off last season. I mean, they didn't have a receiver catch who caught a touchdown. That to me was puzzling. I think to me they're still the favorite, the Denver Broncos. The Raiders are a team that I think is on the way up. They still have a lot of work to do. San Diego, decent football team, not a great football team. There's certainly room for teams 2 through 4 to improve in the AFC West, but I still think Denver is clearly the favorite.
Adam, you're also, it's a great honor, a member of the Pro Football Writers Association. I want to go back to last year. Ray Guy got into the Hall of Fame. This year, finally, the wait has come to an end for Tim Brown and obviously Ron Wolf. How important is that? You know what the Hall of Fame meant to Al Davis. He inducted more players than any other member as when he was alive here. You know what it means to his son, Mark Davis, and finally a great Raider, two great Raider organization members getting in, but a long wait for Tim Brown. And I talked to him at the Super Bowl and how relieved he was for his family that he finally gets this great honor.
Now, I think with Tim Brown, to me, he reminded me a lot of Andre Reed. He was a guy that was not going to go on in the first try, but you thought, look, you know, year after year after year, it would finally happen, and it did, and that's a great thing. And Ron Wolf has, in the contributor category, I mean, how could you not have him in there? Obviously, did such great work with the Raiders and helped the Bucs, and then obviously with the Brett Favre trade with the Packers and won a Super Bowl with the Packers, he's got to get in. It's good to see that. You know, that's the thing. There becomes a backlog of executives and players, and I'm glad to see some of these contributors. Great contributors to the game. Our Bill Polian, who I hope to go to his induction ceremony in August, he deserves to get in. He's getting in, and that's great to see.
What about the old-timers such as Cliff Branch, who put up enormous numbers, especially in the postseason in the Super Bowl? Tom Flores, who won many Super Bowls. Jim Plunkett, who played great in the postseason. Still, some of those players who dominated in the 70s or 80s, when you see those numbers today, and Adam, like it's turning into a video game, what message does that send to the guys who played in the 60s, 70s, and 80s when they didn't play in a game that put up those type of yards and points?
Right, I know, because, JT, the rules are different now. I mean, you can't really touch a receiver. Not only can you not touch him past 5 yards, that's why the passing numbers are like they are, because the rule changers favor passing, and you got to be able to throw the football. And that's kind of where the way this game is going. Cliff Branch, you know, you could mug receivers back when he played. I mean, that was the thing about it, and the game has clearly changed. So Cliff Branch, I mean, it's a shame, but – again, had he played in this era with his unbelievable deep speed. Look at the numbers that he put up huge numbers.
Final thoughts with what the Raiders have done in the offseason and free agency, what you believe they might do in the draft. You're encouraged about the next year or two. You said Mark Davis needs to remain patient. They have a new coaching staff. Reggie McKenzie gets another shot at the draft. Is there a sense of urgency? You're one of the premier NFL insiders out there. Do you believe that the Oakland Raiders are clearly on the right track?
Yeah, I do. I have a ton of Raider followers follow me on Twitter. Kind of funny that, you know, it seems like every other day they're asking me, where do they go in the draft here? And is this the way they should do it? My answer would be yes. You absolutely. I think Mark Davis has got to be patient. Gabe Jackson, I know they like him. I think I'm talking to one of their coaches. It sounds like they really believe he's going to be the next really good guard. Austin Howard was out of position last season. That was a mistake. He's really, to me, a tackle. He's just not comfortable playing inside. If Mark Davis is patient, because I think Reggie McKenzie did a good job in this last draft, give him one more draft. If he drafts well, let him keep going here. There's no reason to break this thing up. I think you got to be patient, no question about it.
We're wrapping it up with Adam Kaplan. Adam, one more time. We've covered a lot on this podcast, and I really appreciate your time. But I want to get back to the culture again of this franchise moving forward. There's been a struggle since the Raiders were in the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they've been trying to upgrade the team every year, bringing in better players and coaches, but it finally seems like they got the coaching staff together and they're building this team the right way. Touch on the culture one more time, and if you believe that the Raiders are on the right track.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I've heard from behind the scenes from a couple people that Jack Del Rio has brought this new attitude in. It's a culture of winning. This guy's won a lot. That's the thing about Jack Del Rio as a player, but more as a coach with the Jaguars, with the Broncos. He's bringing in this new culture, and everything I've heard is really good. And Kenny Norton, who's been in the Super Bowl the last 2 years, I mean, that's a great thing. Charles Woodson is a Super Bowl winner. Nate Allen has been in the playoffs a bunch of times. Justin Tucker is a Super Bowl winner. If you just continue to build this roster with good young players, I think they've got a chance to make a nice little jump here, and I cannot wait, by the way, cannot wait, and I'll be at the training camp, cannot wait to see their offense under Bill Musgrave, because seeing the Chip Kelly offense here in Philly, Bill Musgrave is going to bring his version of it. I cannot wait to see what Derek Carr can do with this offense.
Well, I'll leave it at that. I will see you in Napa. We'll talk off the air about the opportunity to see each other when you go up to Napa. It's one of the great training facilities in all of sports, and we appreciate this. A lot of Raider fans were asking, when were we going to get you on the official Raider podcast? I've seen you a bunch on the road the last couple of years, especially at the Super Bowl. Your career is exploding. Keep up all the great work at ESPN, and thanks a lot for doing this, Adam. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and check me out on Twitter, KaplanNFL.
Thanks again to Adam Kaplan from ESPN for joining us, and thanks for downloading the official Raider podcast. You can follow the Raiders online at Raiders.com, on the official Raiders Facebook page, or the Raiders on Twitter, at Raiders. I'm also on Twitter, at JT The Brick. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT The Brick. We'll see you next time on the official Raiders podcast.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.